Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and my spiritual master Ishwara Puri are completely independent. Therefore, neither the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead nor that of Ishwara Puri is subject to any Vedic rules and regulations. The mercy of the Supreme Personality is not restricted to the jurisdiction of caste and creed. Vidura was a Shudra, yet Krishna accepted lunch at his house. But Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently." So here's, it's making this point, so it should never be taken that this is whimsical. It's just you feel like not, oh, they are independent, they can do whatever they like, but they don't need to follow the material rules because they're following the spiritual path. Right? And the spiritual path means this point of affection. That's what's there. So if you have that affection for the Lord, you just absorb yourself in the Lord, then so many other material situations aren't actually that important. Right? You know, let's say making lots of money or a position, or you just want to be absorbed in Krishna. But where we use this thing to do whatever we like so we can get more money, more facility, more position, that's a misunderstanding of this. What you have to understand is that what is being meant is that if the higher purpose is being served, the lower one, which is only there to bring you close to the higher purpose. You know? So it's like Varnashram is there to bring you closer to the Lord. If you're close to the Lord, then certain elements aren't there, it's already accomplished. Right? Means, in other words, why is the Brahmin not involved with the Shudra? Because the Shudra tends to be materialistic. That's the whole point. But if the Shudra is a devotee, then there's no restriction. It's not that, oh, now he just does whatever he likes. This is a material concept. So their independent means they're simply looking at devotion. If that devotion is there, then those restrictions aren't seen. Does that make sense? But you have to see is that devotion is there. So we see it's stable, it's steady. It's not something that's going to fall back on. And so it works. Like that. So we see so many times that these things come up. So many examples. Srila Prabhupada, "Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful. But His mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else." Right, because people follow the rules or the different rules in that they're following them out of for karma or jnana. That means it's not affection. But if they're following to please Krishna, there's not a problem. But it's the devotion that Krishna is accepting. Just like you cook something and you offer that to Krishna, it's the devotion that He's accepting. It's not that, you know, he's just sitting there in Goloka and, you know, somehow or another they don't grow cauliflowers, so when you offer one, oh my God, he's going to be there. You know. It's the devotion. Service to Lord Krishna can be rendered in two ways. One can serve the Lord in affection or in veneration. When service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy. Means when it is, it's the Lord's mercy that you are. Does that make sense? Like that. It goes the other way around. It's a descending element. Because then if you have affection, that means you capture Him. It's not that, oh, I'm doing an affection, so therefore, no. When service is rendered in veneration, it is doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is actually involved. Because He is God, and you're accepting that, then okay, die. But it's better than someone who doesn't accept. But the whole purpose is to bring someone to the point of devotion. If Krishna's mercy is there, it is not dependent on any prescribed caste or creed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inform Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Krishna is the spiritual master of everyone and He does not care for mundane caste or creed. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited the example of Lord Krishna's accepting food at the house of Vidura, who was a Shudra by birth. By the same token, Ishwara Puri, an empowered spiritual master, could show mercy to anyone. As such, he accepted Govinda, although the boy was born in a Shudra family. When Govinda was initiated, he became a Brahmin, was accepted by Ishwara Puri's person as Ishwara Puri's personal servant. Right, so that affection there, that proper attitude, he gets initiation, and he moves forward in devotion. The side benefit is he also becomes a Brahmin, so then the problem's solved. Now, whether the mundane people can appreciate that or not, that's another thing, but the problem's solved. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatana Goswami states that one who is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. A pseudo-spiritual master cannot transform a person into a Brahmana, but an authorized spiritual master can do so. This is the verdict of Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the Goswamis. 210, 140, 143. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, in conclusion, dealings in affection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead bring happiness many millions of times greater than dealings with Him in awe and veneration. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotee is merged in transcendental bliss. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda, and Govinda in turn offered his respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then continued speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Consider this point. The servant of the spiritual master is always respectable for me. As such, it is not befitting that the guru's servant should engage in my personal service. Yet, my spiritual master has given this order. What shall I do? Because he sees the spiritual master's assistant, that's connected with the spiritual master. It's his paraphernalia. So then you're going to deal respectfully. Right? So then he wouldn't accept him as a servant. But because the spiritual master gave that direction, therefore then, you know, he's following the order. Right. Yes.
The situation here is that Ishwarapu gives an instruction. So for Govinda, he has no other option but to follow that instruction.
Yes.
But only if there is a culture in Gaudiya Vaishnavism where there are situations where God brother serves another God.
Is there situations where God brothers serve other God brothers? I mean, here's the situation.
Yeah, but I mean, in the line afterwards.
The point is there is no, there's no rule or something that can't be done. Why wouldn't they be? You know, it's like you have some brahmacharis and the sannyasis, even while Prabhupada's here. It means, when Prabhupada was here, everybody worked under a devotee. And those devotees were the ones that were connected to Prabhupada. You know, that was the thing. Then with time, then it just becomes just everybody's just, you know, works with the guru and doesn't work under anybody. But otherwise, you know, you worked under, you know, some leading devotees. And so there you always had God brothers serving other, you know. And it wasn't, you know, like you had, I think it was Bhaktadas in Chicago, and then Karandar in L.A., you know, then you had, you know, the different sannyasis and different things and all that. And so everybody worked with that. Very few just worked on their own, because everybody was connected to temples. The temples connected with these senior devotees, and then they were the ones that moved to a Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, went, things like that. And so it's a very standard thing. It was going on in Prabhupada's time. It'll go on. It's always going on.
You don't see this after that.
No, because then because during that time it was all about devotional service, and then after, then it's all about prestige. So of course, you know, you're not going to see it. You know, why him? Who is he? I made him a devotee, and now he's the big, you know, like this. You know, he heard that for years. You know, so. And where are they now? That's the, I say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So. People can say this and that, but these are all mundane considerations. I mean, just top to bottom, they're all mundane. I don't care. like that. Because the point is then, what's the other consideration? If you're offering all respects to others and no respect to yourself, then where's the problem come up? Right? So all this thing, so what's the big deal? As long as you can be engaged in service and you're doing, then nice, who cares? Because the point is, see, there's a thing, just like if we say, okay, what is the eternal dharma of the living entity? The sanatana dharma of the living entity. The service. That's the whole point. Then you take religion and this and that. That's going to be different from person to person, the details and all that. But the one thing that is the inherent nature that you can't change, like fire, you know, fire with heat and light, or water and wetness, is service. So Prabhupada gives the example. You know, the father is serving the family. The family is serving the father. You know, they're serving community. They're serving, everybody's serving everybody else. You see, Yudhishthira Maharaj, his main anxiety at the gambling match and after the gambling match is now he can't serve the Brahmins. Well, Duryodhana, his anxiety is, you know, are they going to come back and take, you know, and then there's going to be a problem? You know, we can't just enjoy this eternally. So that's the point, is that it's a matter of service. And so then if it comes out that someone is senior to you, then who cares? And if at other times you're senior to somebody else, but this whole thing is once you're senior, then you're senior, that was the problem. It's just like Haridas Thakur then explains in the levels of Siksha Guru, is that you have the Adi Guru, you have the Sad Guru, and then you have the preachers. And so someone who's a preacher, they're a preacher, and they're accepted on that level. Now, let's say they give initiation to some to people, devotees, right? So they're on that second level. Now they expect that socially they're on the second level for everybody. No, you're only on the second level for your own disciples. For everybody else, you're on the third level. Otherwise, then it's caste Goswami stuff. You know, it's because you're this and that, you know, and so that becomes a problem. You know, it's like, I'm a big deal, you know, at this temple. When I go to the other temple, I should be the same big deal. No, you're not. It's a different scene, different devotees and all that. How they'll interact and all that is different. So as soon as we try to make that, you know, my, you know, scene will be the same, you know, and I demand that, then there's going to be a problem. And the point is it's, you can't point fingers, oh, it's these guys, that guy. It's anybody who gets in that position. Like I told the story of, I think it was in 92, or maybe, I think it was 92, yeah. It was in Poland, maybe it was 92. Yeah, whatever it is. It was early in the 90s in Poland on the Indradumna Maharaj's tour. And so I noticed that all the, you know, second tier, third tier, you know, managers, just so nice, humble, really busy, serving and all that. And then but I noticed that the ones on the top that were on the bureau, then they just sat in that room, the bureau room, all day and just talked things. Everybody else did things and made things go and were on the stage, did everything. You never saw those other guys. They may have been doing some valuable work, but their attitude, this, that, wasn't actually very good. And so I was thinking, well, why do we need these guys? You know, I was just visiting. And so then I told Sri Pallad, it says, you know, I've been observing because I was there somehow or another. That time I was there 2 months. And so, you know, after some time I told Sri Pallad, it says, you know, I've been looking at it. You know, and I said just exactly this about the second, third month, and then the first and this and that. And why don't you just get rid of those guys on top, you know, put them back to do some nice preaching and that, and make the second tier, you know, make them the top guys. Prabhu just, you know, gave a little, you know, slight smile and looked at me and says, that's what we did last year. You know, so it was like, you know, and I watched that something came up that one of the boys that was so nice in that, and he was going to be made into one of those. And I was talking to him about, you know, maintaining the this and that, the mood and all that, and that's good and all that. And I watched him, And one day when it was confirmed, changed from what he was into the bureau wallah. You could just see it. It was like, you know, it was like something you'd see, you know, in a CGI thing. You know, just like, it was like, wow, I didn't know that could happen. Now, that was before CGI, so it was quite amazing. And so that's the whole point, is whoever is in that position, you know, that's the whole thing. Whoever you put there, then they go. So unless one is doing, having that attitude of devotional service, that's always going to be the problem. So it's not that, those gurus, that was the problem. No, it's anybody. It's anybody. So the whole point is that's why Lord Chaitanya said, na danam, na janam, na sundari. You know? So these things, that if you're not careful, they will catch you. Maya's waiting right there. You know, she's the one waiting by the door. When you go into the bureau, she opens the door for you. And then when you go inside, she's serving the drinks, you know. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's a matter of character. And if that's there, then everything will work very nicely. So who cares who's who? You know, I've seen situations where you have the next generation devotees, that them leading the management and that, and the other senior devotees working along with them. And then you see other places that no, because they're senior, they should be the president, even though they couldn't manage their way out of a wet paper bag with both ends open. Yeah, they would not be able to do it. But because they're the senior, I'm Prabhupada's disciple, then I should be the president, and like that. No, you shouldn't. Like that. Maybe you give the classes and stuff and talk about Krishna and all that, but management, unless it's your nature, then why would you do it? Well, what is being a senior on the spiritual got to do with the material? You know, Vidura didn't say, hey, I'm Yamaraj. I'm one of 12 people in the universe who are the Mahajans, and so I should be the king. No, he doesn't. He does his Shudra stuff and Haribol. So that's the Vaishnava culture. That's the etiquette. So it doesn't matter who's doing. Whoever can do it, then they can do it. I've seen devotees, they've joined after 6 months because they have such a good capacity for organization that they're running something. And there's people that have been there for years and you know, same. They're still struggling with that same wet paper bag.
Actually, now that you mentioned, I was there with you last
year. Oh, you were there.
I was there for 10 days.
Okay.
And one morning you saw me doing my duties.
Right.
And you said, no, that's not how you wash duties. So you washed them for me.
Okay.
And I was so touched. I said, how can Maharaj do this? No. These are all the Indians. I said, how is it possible? Maharaj is doing my duties. So that's how you do it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the Western.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that you don't have this kind of a problem. I mean, it's just like Lord Chaitanya, he's younger than anybody here. Like that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What is his position? I mean, think about this. He is the top, number one academic in India. And that level of his scholarship, there's nobody on the planet that's equal to him now. Nothing. I think even the guy in the wheelchair would have been tough to keep up. Right? So the whole point is that what he knew, what he could do, and he's serving Lord Chaitanya. Like that. You know, even Paramananda Puri and all that. But, you know, the etiquette will be there and this, but they're all serving. You know, Paramananda Puri, you know, he visited Lord Chaitanya's house before Lord Chaitanya appeared. Yes, and he went back. But he found, oh yeah, that's right, that was a great subject. So that, I'm leaving for Navadvipa. The point is that these things don't matter. It's whoever's qualified, then they do the things. That's the beauty of the Varnashram. It's about guna and karma. It's not about this make everybody equal and prestige. Because to make everybody equal, it's not about the good qualities, it's about the prestige. Because why are they picking this spot? Why not make everybody that? You know, Bhakta Jose's taking out the garbage. She'll make a roster that everybody in the temple takes out the garbage. No, never. Right? Make a roster. Everybody, all the city, they're all doing the, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon artik or the 8:30 at night artik. Are they doing that? No, no. It's a fight over who does the, you know, the Janmashtami artik or the Darshan artik. It's the ones that is prestigious. People see you there. They're not fighting over just, you know, but those other ones, those are so nice. No one's there. It's just you and the deities. And a few strays. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that you can see as underlying these things are political positions. They're not. So politics, as Prabhupada points out, politics always ruins. Party politics always ruins everything. So it's not. Krishna, it's about Krishna. So that's the whole thing. It's about that affection. It's about that aspect. You know, but it's real affection, not sahajiyas. It's not because you're a jnani. Oh, because you has a degree, therefore everybody should stand back and listen. Unless it's in devotional service, then who cares? You know? Like that. It means you're respectful to someone because they have knowledge. But that doesn't mean that they're superior. It's just you have the etiquette. You deal nicely and all that. So that's what we're meaning about not caring for these rules. But that's how it's not caring for the rules. Not, oh, we don't care for the rules, so all the rules I don't like, we don't have to follow. And all the rules I think should be followed, everyone must follow, even though they're not mentioned there in the Guru, Sadhu, or Shastra. Yeah? Srila Prabhupada. A guru's servants or disciples are all God brothers to one another, and as such they should all respect one another as Prabhu or Master. No one should disrespect his God brother. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya what to do about Govinda. Govinda was the personal servant of Ishwarapuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. And now Ishwarapuri had ordered Govinda to become Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant. So what was to be done? This was the inquiry Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, an experienced friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the point that he wants to discuss. You also have the point here is no one should disrespect the God brothers. So then you can say, oh, those senior men didn't respect the God brothers. But at the same time, as those God brothers who were worrying about being respected weren't respecting the ones below them either. And then when they got rid of the big guys and they became the big guys, to this day, they don't respect anybody. You know, so it's we always have to remember the end scene of Animal Farm. Two ten, 144, 150. In other words, mundane is always going to be mundane. Spiritual is always going to be spiritual. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "The order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. That is the injunction of the Shastras, the revealed scriptures. Being ordered by his father, Parasuram killed his mother, Renuka, just as if she were an enemy. When Lakshmana, the younger brother of Lord Ramachandra, heard of this, he immediately engaged himself in the service of his elder brother and accepted his orders." The order of the spiritual master must be obeyed without consideration. Footnote 4. This is a quotation from the Raghuvamsa, 1446. Right, so Raghuvamsa, I think it's a play. Yeah, I think it's a drama. The order of the great personality, like a father, must be executed without consideration because there is good fortune in such an order for both of us. In particular, there is good fortune for me. Footnote 5. This is a statement by Lord Ramachandra to Sita from the Ramayana, Ayodhya Kanda 22:9. Right? Because she's asked why we go to the forest. It says the father has said, so we're going. So there'll be good fortune. You know? So everything means Because of that, that's why we're still hearing about Ramayana, right? Otherwise, then it would have been, you know, like in the Bhagavatam, you come down and this king was there and he did this special little thing, and then his son was this one, and his son was this, and his son was this. Then we get to Ramachandra, and then there's a whole, you know, so many chapters. So, after Sarva, in fact, once he gets back to the throne, that's when the story's over. The story ends there. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda and engaged him in the service of his personal body. Everyone respected Govinda as the dearmost servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Govinda served all the Vaishnavas and saw to their needs. So they just, and it's also not this, they're serving there, and if the others, when they come to visit or this or that around, then they take care of everybody. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's, it's just, there's the mood of that, the servant and how they work. Others don't take advantage of this, and but they don't go, oh, I'm only Lord Chaitanya's servant. So everything here, all these cultural things, there's always a balance. So there's something very important, and if the balance is kept, so many nice things can be done. Like that. You know, like we said, there was that devotee, 6 months in the movement, he was already managing things. You know, and senior men were following. But he was always respectful to those senior men. But it's still, what he said, that's what everybody did. So there always has to be this balance. That's the difficulty in the non-Vedic circles, is generally, if you're in charge, then it doesn't, all other etiquette goes out the window. But no, the Vedic is that you may be running this, but etiquette still remains. So you respect others for their respectable position, they respect you. He may be always only around 6 months, but he is the manager. You have to respect him for that. Like that. So, both Haridas Sr. and Haridas Jr., who are musicians, as well as Ramai and Nandai, used to stay with Govinda. They all remained with Govinda to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, no one could estimate the good fortune of Govinda. Because then, a lot of times the servants, then, because they're always busy serving, so then all the servants, then they stay together. They have one, but then it's nice because then they can interact, they discuss and everything like that. You know, so it works. It works really nice.
This
would be
a big place, Kashi
Mishra. Yeah. Well, it was given by the king. Because Kashi Mishra, I think, was the assistant to the king. He was his priest. So he must have given him some, because he said specifically, oh, where is a nice place that is private, but at the same time is close to the temple. So then the king said, oh, Kashi Mishra's. Because
he... So, the
yes, but they would come and stay. You know, so if they came over there and said, they would stay with him. You know, it's just like they may have their other place, but they come and they just hang out with him. You know, and that he doesn't have a problem. It's like, what do you mean? It's my room. I'm doing service. You know, I can't handle, you know, like that. No, they just all, everybody crowds in.
Because if you look at the house of Kashi Mishra today, the one here, and then you look at Siddha Bhaktu, that was the property here. That's where the property of Kashi Mishra.
Oh, okay, so that all was Kashi Mishra. So then there's plenty of space.
Yeah, it's in the same area.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that means what do you call it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place then was also in that area.
Which, where the east of Maui is?
Yeah.
No, that's
the
Haridas Thakur Samadhi.
Oh, that's the Samadhi. Oh, okay, so that's different from the Siddha Bhaktu.
Yeah,
oh,
Siddha
okay.
Bhaktu is near Kashi Mishra.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so nice. Verses 151 to 183. Brahmananda Bharati's interaction with Lord Chaitanya. 210, 151, 154. The next day, Mukunda Dutta informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmananda Bharati has come to see you. Mukunda Dutta then asked the Lord, shall I bring him here? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmananda Bharati is like my spiritual master. It is better that I go to him. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees came into the presence of Brahmananda Bharati. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees approached him, they saw he was covered with a deer skin. seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very unhappy. Srila Prabhupada. Brahmananda Bharati belonged to the Shankara Sampradaya. The title Bharati indicates a member of one of that Sampradaya's 10 classes of sannyasis. It is customary for a person who has renounced the world to cover his body with the deerskin or the bark of a tree. This is enjoined by the Manu Samhita. But if a sannyasi who has renounced the world simply wears a deerskin and does not spiritually advance, he is bewildered by false prestige. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like to see Brahmananda Bharati wearing a deerskin. 210, 155, 166. Yes.
It seems that all Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates were sannyasi in the Shankara Sampradaya at that time.
They were around.
Saudamada.
Sorry?
Saudamada.
Yeah, yeah. Because the point is that they're taking that, so because the ashram is that, because it's not, we're not saying that their line of sannyas is not bona fide, it's just their philosophy has a bit of a problem. You know? So they're taking from that, but no, it's not that they're not, they're staying with them and following their teachings. At the time, then he just had, I think, the Shri's mudras. But they were down south. Okay. And whether they would give sannyas to anybody outside their circle. The mudras, I think, the only sannyasis are their own. You have the main Swami, he has his junior. And that are the only ones that take sannyas. And the Shri's, I don't know details, but I heard one Madhva Sannyasi was talking about, because I asked him about the danda, why it was so small. Pejwar, it's only this big. Because Bala Sannyasi, he took sannyas, I think, when he was 6. So his danda is only that big. And then he joked about the Ramanujas, that he says, but they only take when they're 90 years old, so they have very big dandas. You know? That's one thing, I guess, if you're older and you're leaning like this, then they could just measure that way. Not standing up straight. But so it seems that they take very late. And I haven't heard of people outside of their circle taking. So it's only basically in north you have people taking sannyas that in kind of in that way. So makes sense. Like that. So the Shankaras don't seem to mind. Because that, you know, their principle is first take sannyas, then we'll talk. You know, so yeah. Seeing Brahmananda Bharati wearing the deerskin, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pretended not to see him. Instead, he asked Mukunda Dutta, "Where is Brahmananda Bharati, my spiritual master?" Mukunda Dutta replied, "Here is Brahmananda Bharati in your presence." The Lord replied, "You are incorrect. This is not Brahmananda Bharati. You must be talking of someone else, for this is surely not Brahmananda Bharati. You simply have no knowledge. Why should Brahmananda Bharati wear a deerskin?" Right? He's wearing a deerskin. That'd be Brahmananda Bharati. When Brahmananda Bharati heard this, he thought, "My deerskin is not approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Thus admitting mistake, Brahmananda Bharati thought, "He spoke well. I put on this deerskin only for prestige. I cannot cross over the ocean of nescience simply by wearing a deerskin." Right? I mean, deers don't get liberated, you know, so. You know, unless your idea is a 12-gauge shotgun, you know, it says liberation. So, but, yeah, other than that, then. As soon as Brahmananda Bharati decided that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding his mind, immediately sent for the robes of a sannyasi. As soon as Brahmananda Bharati gave up his deerskin and covered himself with sannyasi robes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and offered his respects at his lotus feet. Brahmananda Bharati said, "You instruct the general populace by your behavior. I will not do anything against your wishes. Otherwise, you will not offer me respects, but will neglect me. I am afraid of this. At the present moment, I see two Brahmanas, two Brahmans. One Brahman is Lord Jagannath, who does not move, and the other Brahman is moving, is you. Lord Jagannath is the Archa Vigraha, the worshipable deity, and it is he who is non-moving Brahman. that you are Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you are moving here and there. The two of you are the same Brahman, master of the material nature, but you are playing two parts, one moving and one not moving. In this way, two Brahmans are now residing at Jagannath Puri, Purushottama. Of the two Brahmans, you are fair complexion, and the other, Lord Jagannath, is blackish. Both of you are delivering the whole world. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, actually, to tell you the truth, due to your presence, there are now two Brahmans at Jagannath Puri. Both Brahmananda and Gaurahari are moving, whereas blackish Lord Jagannath is sitting tight and immobile. Srila Prabhupada. Brahmananda Bharati wanted to prove that there is no difference between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva, whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that he and Brahmananda Bharati were Jivas, and that although the Jivas are Brahman, they are many, but the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Brahman, is one. On the other hand, Brahmananda Bharati also wanted to prove that Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that to fulfill his mission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to be moving, whereas Lord Jagannath appeared to be inert. Thus, this jolly argument was going on. Finally, Brahmananda Bharati referred the whole matter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, for a final decision. Right? Brahmananda Bharati said, "My dear Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please become the mediator in this logical argument between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and me." Brahmananda Bharati continued, "The living entity is localized, whereas the Supreme Brahman is all-pervading. That is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified me by taking away my deer skin. This is proof that he is the all-pervasive and all-powerful, and I am subordinate to him." To the Prabhupada. Brahmananda Bharati herein asserts that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Brahman and that he is the subordinate Brahman. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Brahman or Parabrahman, the chief of all living entities. Both the Supreme Brahman or the Personality of Godhead and the living entities are persons, but the Supreme Brahman is the predominator, whereas the living entities are predominated. 2.10.170.175. Brahmananda Bharati continued, "His bodily hue is golden, and his whole body is like molten gold. Every part of his body is very beautifully constructed and smeared with sandalwood pulp. Accepting the renounced order, the Lord is always equipoised. He is firmly fixed in his mission of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he is firmly situated in his dualistic conclusion and in his peace." Footnote 6. This is a quote from the Bharata's Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra. Okay, so this is the, this is the verse from the Mahabharata explaining about the Lord in Kali Yuga. Like that. Because it's one of the verses that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he knew the verses, but he didn't know their meaning. And then after meeting Lord Chaitanya, then he understood, oh, this is what these verses mean. All the symptoms mentioned in the verse from the Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra are visible in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His arms are decorated with sandalwood pulp, and the thread received from the Sri Jagannath deity, and these are his ornamental bangles. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rendered his judgment by saying, "Brahmananda Bharati, I see that you are victorious." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, "I accept whatever Brahmananda Bharati has said. It is quite all right with me." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus posed himself as a disciple and accepted Brahmananda Bharati as the spiritual master. He then said, "The disciple is certainly defeated in an argument with the spiritual master." Brahmananda Bharati immediately countered these words, saying, "It is not the cause of your defeat. There is another cause. It is your natural characteristic to accept defeat at the hands of your devotee. There is also another glory of yours, which I ask you to hear attentively. I have been meditating on the impersonal Brahman since my birth, But since I have seen you, I have fully experienced Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Ramananda Bharati admitted that when there is an argument between the spiritual master and the disciple, the spiritual master is naturally victorious, although the disciple may put forward a strong argument. In other words, it is customary that the words of the spiritual master are more worshipable than the words of a disciple. Under the circumstances, since Brahmananda Bharati was in the position of a spiritual master, he emerged victorious over Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who considered himself Brahmananda Bharati's disciple. However, Brahmananda Bharati reversed the argument and took the position of a devotee, stating that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This means that the Lord was voluntarily defeated out of affection for his devotee. He was defeated voluntarily, because no one can defeat the Supreme Lord. Concerning this, the words of Bhishma in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.37 are important. Sva nigamam apahyaya mat pratigyam ritam adikartum avap pluto ratas ta drita rata charano hyayach chalad gur harir iva hantum ibham gatot tariya. Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. Krishna promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but Bhishma, in order to break Krishna's promise, attacked Krishna in such a vigorous way that Krishna was obliged to take up a chariot wheel and attack Bhishma. The Lord did this to show that his devotee was being maintained at the sacrifice of his own promise. Ramananda Bharati said, "Since the beginning of my life, I was attached to impersonal Brahman realization. But as soon as I saw you, I became very much attached to the personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself, and thus Brahmananda Bharati became his devotee." 210-176-177. Ramananda Bharati continued, "Since I have seen you, I have been feeling Lord Krishna's presence in my mind and have been seeing him before my eyes. I now want to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Over and above this, within my heart, I consider you to be Krishna, and I am therefore very eager to serve you." Bilva Mangal Thakur abandoned his impersonal realization for the realization of the personality of Godhead. "I now see that my condition is similar to his, for it has already changed." Srila Prabhupada. In his early life, Bilva Mangal Thakur was an impersonalist monist, and he used to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Later, he became a devotee of Lord Krishna, and his explanation for this change was given in a verse, text 178, that is quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sometimes a devotee gradually comes to the stage of Bhagavan realization. Realization of the Supreme Person after having obtained the lower stages of realization. Impersonal Brahman realization and localized Paramatma realization. The condition of such a devotee is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita 5 by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasapur akasha pushpayate durdan tendriya kala sarpa patali proktata damstrayate vishvam purna sukayate vidi mahendradish cha kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhava vatam tam gauram eva stumaha. Kaivalya, oneness in the effulgence of Brahman, appears hellish to the devotee. The heavenly planets, the abodes of the demigods, appear to the devotee like phantasmagories. The yogis meditate for sense control, but for the devotee the senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. The devotee doesn't have to control his senses, for his senses are already engaged in the Lord's service. Consequently, there is no possibility that the senses will act like serpents. In the material condition, the senses are as strong as poisonous snakes. But when the senses are engaged in the Lord's service, They are like poisonous snakes with their fangs removed, and so they are no longer dangerous. The entire world is a replica of Vaikuntha for the devotee because he has no anxiety. He sees that everything belongs to Krishna, and he does not want to enjoy anything for himself. He does not even aspire for the position of Lord Brahma or Indra. He simply wants to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he has no problem. He stands in his original constitutional position. All this is possible when one receives Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful glance. 210, 178, 182. Ramananda Bharati concluded, although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, I have nonetheless been forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who is always joking with the gopis. Footnote 7. This is a verse written by Bilva Mangal Thakur. It is quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.1.44. Yes?
It's interesting when we were studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that verse was there. So I wasn't clear about it because it sounds like previously he was in Shankar, but then he shifted into Madhurka. But now this explanation, now it's like everything's clear. So he was in verses, and then he became a devotee.
Yeah.
So he practiced the best teacher of the Lord, not that he had a Sai Baba in Shankar.
Yeah, no.
Rasa.
No. But it's also showing because that position of monism where you're acknowledging the position of the Lord, and then they have that, what was it? You know, it's one of the kinds of ratyavasa, I think, where they have an affection for the Lord and emotions are there, but they're impersonalists. And so then that doesn't match with the other elements. You know what I'm saying? So then you get rasabhas. So that's the point, is that because dharma artha kama is generally pretty straightforward, but when you're dealing with moksha, because it has that touch of the chit potency, then there's a wide range there within the dealings in which then they appear quite similar elements, but you can tell by what's their goal, what's their motive, you know, these kind of things, then where they're situated. But in any case, anybody who's on that platform, they're all respected. You see the great sages and this, they're all respected, whatever is their position. So that's all, the etiquettes are going to be the same. But it just doesn't mean that you necessarily surrendered your life to them, but the etiquette's going to be there. So, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, you have a very deep ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, wherever you turn your eyes, you simply heighten your Krishna consciousness. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, the statements of both of you are correct. Krishna gives direct audience through his mercy. Without having ecstatic love for Krishna, one cannot see him directly. Therefore, through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Bharati has acquired direct vision of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what are you saying? Lord Vishnu, save me. Such glorification is simply another form of blasphemy. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little embarrassed by the Bhattacharya's statement. Therefore, he uttered the name Vishnu to save himself. Lord herein confirms that if one is overestimated, glorification is just another form of blasphemy. In this way, he protests his so-called offensive statement. Though it's correct, but he doesn't like to be called the Supreme Lord. 210-183. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Brahmananda Bharati with him to his residence. From that time on, Brahmananda Bharati remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. So then Brahmananda Bharati is there, Paramananda Puri is there, like that. So they're two senior personalities. Verses 184-190. Okay. All the devotees make their way to meet with the Lord. 210, 184 to 190. Later, Ramabhadra Acharya and Bhagavan Acharya joined them, and giving up all other responsibilities, remained under Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shelter. The next day, Kashishwar Gosai also came and remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who received him with great respect. Kashishwara used to usher Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the Jagannath temple. He would precede the Lord into the crowd and keep the people from touching him. As all the rivers flow into the sea, all the devotees throughout the country finally came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shelter. Yeah, it's just like you see with Srila Prabhupada, then Brahmananda.
Yes.
He would take Prabhupada through the crowds because he's very big. So my understanding is that this Kashishwara is also very big. Since all the devotees came to him for shelter, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed them all mercy and kept them under his protection. Thus I have described the meeting of all the Vaishnavas with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whoever hears this description ultimately attains shelter at his lotus feet. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Okay, then we have conclusion, yes. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful, but his mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. Whew. Very bright. In other words, this is what normal current looks like. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. Service to Lord Krishna can be rendered in two ways. One can serve the Lord in affection or in veneration. When service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy. When service is rendered in veneration, it is doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is actually involved. If Krishna's mercy is there, it is not dependent on any prescribed caste or creed. 10.139 purport. Those who are highly advanced in spiritual understanding do not care about a person's material condition. A spiritually advanced person sees the spiritual identity of every living being, and consequently he makes no distinction between a learned Brahmin, a dog, a chandala, or anyone else. He is not influenced by the material body, but sees a person's spiritual identity. 10.54 purport. But, you know, the etiquettes will be followed. Right? You're going to deal differently with the dog than you are with a learned Brahmin. But he doesn't see that there's any difference in the living entity. Like that. Now, if someone has taken up devotional service in that, now that's a consideration that's unique and special. But other than that, all the material designations, there's not, you don't have to, it's not that one is more prestigious than the other. But one is because of the knowledge and the other this and that, then you, those things are regarded. So, yeah.
The Lord will come to heaven and believe. After that, covered himself in the earth. I think he just stayed here.
He just stayed in Puri, yes. Mm-hmm. So 24 years he was, you know, a sannyasi, so 6, you know, were traveling, and then 18 were in Puri. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
It seems that many people keep doing it in the matter.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, Puri, there was a lot of devotees, and then you had in Bengal the devotees. They would come every year to visit.
Yes.
But a lot of devotees also stayed in Puri. Mm-hmm.
So at that time, when he was a king, he was giving like residence to the devotees?
You may or may not. It doesn't give the details here. But, you know, they'll find some place to stay. People always have some place or some room or something like this. Right? Because then people had big houses, so they didn't have to figure out how to put a little wall next to the toilet so you get that extra little space, you know, for saving and stuff. No. they didn't. No, there was plenty of space. Now, have you ever seen these old bungalows, houses in India? Very, very big. Because they were designed is that they're going to have, it'll be like this. You make a house like this. The couple, they're going to have so many children, right? And that daughters will go away, but they'll come and visit. Right? And when they come and visit, they'll come with the husband and all that, so you need a place for them. The sons, then they'll stay there in the house. They're with their wife, and they need facility. And so they're huge places. So there's always rooms to, you know, and everybody, they may have their own guests and this and that, so there's tons of rooms. Like that, you know, they thought ahead. Like that. So it's...
At that time, you have no accommodation.
Now, I've seen a lot of things come through that gap. Hare Krishna.
I showed up at 4:30, it was locked.
It was locked. Where's locked?
At the door.
Well, after the class someone can show you how you get into that door. Huh? Sorry? Half an hour. Yes.
I really wanted to come to
the okay. So if there's a will, there's a way. Because normally we only see, you know, cats and other things come in through that spot.
So at that time it was no accommodation, it was no hotel.
You wouldn't need hotels. It's not that there weren't hotels. There's always hotels. Manu speaks about hotels. Rupa Goswami, you know, Sanatana Goswami was going with a servant. They stayed at a hotel. Hotels have always been there. It's one of the first things that you know, business person opens is a hotel, right? Because people have to move around, you know. They need some place to stay, something to eat. They're always there. But before they looked more like, you know, they'd be more like restaurants and they'd have places to stay. Because everybody eats and a few need to stay. So downstairs was always eating, upstairs was that, or in the front was the restaurant, in the back, like this. But the hotels are always there. Manu talks about that. Is that if you want to know what's going on in the scene, you want to know if there's any nonsense, you send your spies to the hotel. Like, I don't know, have you ever noticed, like, in the back, on the back road, you know where our road meets the back road?
Yeah.
There's a little, there's that little chai stand there.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening at that stand. But you see the bench is always full of the same guys.
Yeah.
So these are guys that just watch what's going on. Because that spot, they can see it from ISKCON, from anyone else. Coming, going, the locals coming across the river who goes, you can see everything from that spot. Because if that tea stall depended upon selling tea, they would have been gone like, you know, years ago. But, you know, so it's like, they've always been. Of?
The cyclone?
Cyclone, yeah, of course, because they want to see what's happening in the cyclone. Yeah, they're always sitting. Anytime you go, they're all sitting there. Chapter 11. The Beda Kirtan pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pratigya. Devotional service is so exalted that it can be executed by anyone in any position. One must simply be dridhavrata, firmly determined. Adhyaya Prakashika. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur summarizes the 11th canto take 2. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur summarizes the 11th chapter in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried his best to arrange a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and King Pataparudra, the Lord flatly denied his request. At this time, Sri Ramananda Rai returned from his government post, and he praised King Pataparudra highly in Lord Chaitanya's presence. Because of this, the Lord became a little soft. The king also made promises to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who hinted how the king might meet the Lord. During Anavasara, while Lord Jagannath was resting for 15 days. Oh, that's what it's called, Anavasara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being unable to see Lord Jagannath, went to Alalanath. Later, when the devotees from Bengal came to see him, he returned to Jagannath Puri. While Advaitacharya and the other devotees were coming to Jagannath Puri, Srup Damodar and Govinda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's two personal assistants, went to receive all the devotees with garlands. From the roof of his palace, King Prataparudra could see all the devotees arriving. Gopinath Acharya stood on the roof with the king and following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, identified each and every devotee. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then his major position, then he can move with the king. And then his brother-in-law also, he's in that same kind of respected position. The king discussed the devotees with Gopinath Acharya, and he mentioned that the devotees were accepting prasadam without observing the regulative principles of governing pilgrimages. They accepted prasadam without having shaved, and they neglected to fast in a holy place. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had explained to the king why the devotees had apparently violated the scriptural injunctions for visiting a holy place of pilgrimage, the king arranged residential quarters for all the devotees and saw to their prasadam. So then those who are coming to visit, that he takes care of. And even see today, I don't know how much they're running, but there's huge amounts of big dharmshalas there that were just for devotees visiting Puri. And they were supposed to be for free, and they would give prasad. And so they were for the different areas in India. So there'd be one for Bengalis. So there then they would serve rice, the people would speak Bengali, and they'd have a Bengali pandit who would take them around and everything like that. And so these were all there, but with time then people, you know, just more recently, then they, you know, people use them for their own purposes and stuff. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked very happily with Vasudeva Dutta and other devotees. Haridas Thakur also came, and due to his humble and submissive attitude, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a nice solitary place near the temple. So that's the Siddhaboko. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So previously, there was a mention of Chola Haridas, Bala Haridas, and then this third one is a Thakur Haridas, is that right? So we have three Haridas.
There's three. I always thought Bodo Haridas means Haridas Thakur.
That's what I thought.
Because in here he doesn't. When you're telling some things, it doesn't necessarily have to be in chronological order. He was just saying that they got they stayed there. He was just saying that Govinda got this place. He was very fortunate because Bodo Haridas, Choto Haridas, and these others would stay with him. But it doesn't mean that they were staying necessarily at that moment when it was in the time in the storyline when he said it. It's just that when Haridas Thakur was there, he'd come and stay. You know, so it's just, it's like what you see also in Bhagavatam. They're telling something and they'll mention something and then go on and they'll go back, well, what about this? And then they'll tell that and then, you know, and then something, he'd already told the story, but what about this? How did that happen? Like Vritrasura. You know, and then he goes back, and then, you know, all these different things. So it's point is as it comes up, as it, the natural, you know, because there's a flavor you want to keep. You want to keep the chronology, you can, but then you sacrifice the flavor, the rasa. So the whole point is they're keeping the rasa, those things that go together and explain that, they'll go together, even though they may not always chronologically be connected. Is that... Yeah. Yeah. After this, the Lord began performing Sankirtana, dividing all the devotees into four groups. After Sankirtana, all the devotees left for the residential quarters. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses. Verses 1-65. King Pratabharudra's desire to meet with Lord Chaitanya. 66-184. The Bengali Vaishnavas arrive in Jagannath Puri. 185-196. The Lord meets with Haridas Thakur. 197-211. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributes prasadam to his devotees. 212-243. Lord Chaitanya arranges the Sankirtan groups. Verses 1-165. King Pratabharudra's desire to meet Lord Chaitanya. 211-18. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merged the entire world into the ocean of ecstatic love by performing his beautiful dances within the temple of Jagannath. He danced exquisitely and jumped high. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him permission to submit a statement without fear. The Lord gave the Bhattacharya assurance that he could speak without fear, but added that if his statements were suitable, he would accept it. Right? You know, it's just like you come that you see so many times with like Arjuna or the other Kshatriyas that someone comes and says, I want to ask something of you. May I ask? You know? But they haven't said. And sometimes they even said, you know, will you grant it? Before they told them even. But they'll mention, I'll grant it as long as it's not against the rules of the Kshatriya Dharma. It doesn't make me into a slave. It doesn't do, you know, these kind of things. And like that, then it's fine. Because that's the rules. You can't just ask anything. Okay. So. So he's saying, yes, you speak that as long as it's suitable. You know, it means you speak it, but it doesn't mean I'll accept it. If it's suitable, I'll accept. And if it were not, he would reject it. Fair enough. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, there is a king named Pratapurudra Rai. He is very anxious to meet you, and he wants your permission. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this proposal, he immediately covered his ears with his hands and said, my dear Sarvabhauma, why are you requesting such an undesirable thing from me? Since I am in the renounced order, it is as dangerous for me to meet a king as to meet a woman. To meet either would be just like drinking poison. Greatly lamenting, the Lord then informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, alas, for a person who is seriously desiring to cross the material ocean, engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaging in sense gratification or seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. Yes. You put your hand up also?
No,
oh, okay. Because it's like, it's just willingly. And they go, oh, okay. We got something. Yeah.
This, I contemplate like for a very long time. So, previously we heard that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Mahaprabhu to meet Ramananda Rai. And then he is the governor of Madras, means huge area, working under the king, Pratapurudra, but still, he is the Vishai, you know, he is... You know. So, what is the major difference between Pratapurudra and Ramananda Rai? Although they have a position in the government and externally, opulence, one travels with hundreds of brahmanas and like that. So, what is the difference?
But,
yeah, what's the deal?
What's the deal? What's the buzz?
Okay. May I add one thing? That saga, trying to get the king to meet Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Skaraj Goswami is such a good narrator, and he spreads it in the literature.
But also, it just means it took that long.
Yeah.
So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, here what did he say here? There's a king. He's very anxious to meet you. He wants your permission. That's it. That's the request. What was the request about Ramananda Rai? Did he just said, there's this guy who's governor of Madras and he'd like to meet you?
No.
What did he say?
He said, he's a Rasik devotee. You should meet him.
Yeah. So there's a difference. Here, this is just a king. He's just a man in position. Because the point is what's the point of these big personalities? They're attached to their position. They identify with it. So they're very bodily conscious on that in a very intense way. Like that. You know, so they take their bodily consciousness seriously. That's why it mentions also about women. They take it very seriously. And so that's then why you have to be very careful. Right? But here is that he's a Rasik, so he's a devotee. So he's not he may perform the duties, but he's beyond. You know, he's like Yudhishthira and other great personalities. So then it's not a problem. So that's the difference. So it's not the position. It's one is means the problem is not the position. It's a matter of, are they engaged in the Lord's service? So he is the king, seeing all these things. He may be interested in devotional service. He may even be a devotee. But he's not on this level like these others. So how much, you know, if he's mixed or this or that, you know. So he's also setting a standard. Because otherwise, then there's too much, you know, interest to see and this and that. And like, have you ever seen pictures of, sometimes you go into these, sometimes like some stores or some restaurants, you know, some places like that, and they're very famous, and all big personalities also go to that place, and that's one of the reasons it's famous. They go, it makes it even more famous. And there's always a wall that has the picture of that whoever it is, the owner, with those people. But you know, they just are looking normal or pleasant, relaxed, and he looks like he's got this stupid grin on his face. Because what they're just saying, okay, we're being nice, we came here, it's famous, you know, like, yeah, you take a picture with him like you take a picture. But he's saying, you know, I picture with them, he's come here, more money. You know, so that's the whole point, is that the materialism becomes very strong. So that's why it's recommended that you be very careful with them. So unless there's an opportunity or something for devotional service. Here you see everybody's being devotees. You don't need the king. The king is doing all his proper things. They're doing their proper things. But it's not that, you know. Because anyway, the king can be preached to anyway through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and through, what's this? Govindacharya? Gopinathacharya. You know, Kashi Mishra. He's staying at Kashi Mishra's house, so he can hear things every day. So Lord Chaitanya doesn't need to be involved. So again, it's that point of before, is that the rules apply unless there's that devotional aspect, and then that's the point of that point of attraction. But if not, the rules are there. So when you say the Lord's independent, means the Lord's independent means he follows rules, but he's independent. If there's affection, he doesn't need to follow them. Because the rules are there so that you develop affection for the Lord. So if you have affection, then it doesn't need the rules. You know, it's just like learning to ride a bicycle. Someone stands there and holds it while you ride. But if you can ride it, there's no need of holding it. So the rules will be followed very strictly. But if that devotional thing is there, then that's where they're not. Not just whatever I like, I do, and this and that. That's kind of the... Sorry. Is that put to rest this long anxiety of staying awake at night?
What do you do if I stay awake at night contemplating this?
Yes. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Sri Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka, 8.23. Okay. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enunciates the principles for a sannyasi renouncing the material world for spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement is not meant for magic shows and juggling, but for crossing the material ocean, the material world and being transferred to the spiritual world. Param, 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 ji, jigam, misho, means desiring to go to the other side of the material world. There's a river called Vaitarani, and on one side of this river is the material world, and on the other side is the spiritual world. Since the Vaitarani River is compared to a great ocean, it is named Bhavasagara, the ocean of repeated birth and death. Spiritual life aims at stopping this repetition of birth and death and entering into the spiritual world, where one can live eternally cognizant and blissful. Yeah, because all materialists, anybody who's not a devotee, they have to go to this Vaitarani to meet Yamaraj. They all, the only devotees don't. They just, you know, they go from this body to that or whatever it is. But the others, they have to go to Yamaraj. And they have to cross this Vaitarani. There is a spiritual nature beyond this material world, and that spiritual nature exists eternally. Spiritual advancement means stopping material activities and entering into spiritual activities. This is the process of bhakti yoga. In the material world, the via media for sense gratification is mainly a woman. One who is seriously interested in spiritual life should strictly avoid women. A sannyasi should never see a man or woman for material benefit. In addition, talks with materialist men and women are also dangerous, and they are compared to drinking poison. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict on this point. He therefore refused to see King Prataparudra, who was naturally always engaged in political and economic affairs, right? Because that's then, because political and economic, then you're, it's the practical application of these things, right? You're, the Dharma, but you're practically applying them for the Artha and dealing in this area. And then all the politics, all the different things that go on, like that. The Lord even refused to see the king despite the request of a personality like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is the Lord's intimate friend and devotee. Right? So you're seeing is that this position of where that materialistic interest, that's the difficulty. So then, that's why then, only when it comes to the devotional platform and that engagement in devotional service, that changes this platform. So like you see with Ramananda Rai, then it's different. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, or you see these great devotees like Kunti Devi or Draupadi, you know, or the gopis. And so then Durvasa Muni is talking to them. Right? But they're not, but it says here, but they're not talking materialistic. See for material benefit. Yeah, and they're not discussing material things. Like that. So we see is when somebody takes up devotional service, it changes the dynamic. But at the same time is, then you have to consider the you know, one's position and these kind of things, and the social elements and all that. Does that make sense?
Prabhupada gives the example of Narada Muni
Yeah, like that. And specifically preaching to her son. Because I think Hiranyakashipu was coming after 100 years. And that means Prahlad Maharaj heard spiritual instruction for 100 years. Huh? No, by a certain Vedic condition, but it means 5 from birth. But if you went from conception, then he was 105 years old.
Prabhupada says, Kayadu asked Narada Muni that till the time my husband doesn't go, I should not give birth to Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah, because otherwise Prahlad will grow up be an old man by the time his father gets back. Yeah, then you have that, you know, yeah, it's a whole trip, yeah. Yeah, because in the Vedic consideration, when they say 5, they technically mean from conception. But you can also count from birth. Both are viable. Yeah. So that means when he was born, then he was what do you call it? Yeah, I don't even know how to say it. Sorry?
Sentinel.
Yeah. He's, you know how sometimes in the country someone who becomes a, you know, 100 years old, and the head of the country sends them a note, a letter or something, or congratulations and all that. Yeah. Problem is that the head of the country was his father, so... Yeah, it might not have worked out. Plus, I think in that age they didn't write things, so it was all, they were all shooting stars. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "My dear Lord, what you have said is correct, but this king is not an ordinary king. He is a great devotee and servant of Lord Jagannath." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Although it is correct that the king is a great devotee, he is still to be considered a venomous snake. Similarly, even though a woman be made of wood, one becomes agitated simply by touching her form." Page 26. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chanakya Pandit has stated in his moral instructions, "Tyaja durjana samsargam bhaja sadhu samagamam." This means that one has to abandon the association of materialistic people and associate with spiritually advanced people. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a venomous snake, serpent. Everyone knows that a snake is dangerous and poisonous, and when its hood is decorated with jewels, it is no less poisonous or dangerous. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a snake decorated with jewels. One should therefore be careful in dealing with such materialists, just as one should be careful in dealing with a bejeweled serpent. Even though a woman be made of wood or stone, she becomes attractive when decorated. One becomes sexually agitated even by touching the form. Therefore, one should not trust his mind, which is so fickle that it can give way to enemies at any moment. The mind is also accompanied by six enemies, right? So the mind is all, has, it can be the enemy, and it has six other enemy friends along with it. Namely, kam, krodh, mada, moha, matsarja, and bhaya. That is lust, anger, intoxication, illusion, envy, and fear. Although the mind may be merged in spiritual consciousness, one should always be very careful in dealing with it, just as one is very careful in dealing with a snake. One should never think that his mind is trained and that he can do whatever he likes. One interested in spiritual life should always engage his mind in the service of the Lord, so that the enemies of the mind, who always accompany the mind, will be subdued. The mind is not engaged in Krishna consciousness at every moment, there is a chance that it will give way to its enemies. In this way we become victims of the mind. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra engages the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna constantly. Thus the mind's enemies do not have a chance to strike. Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example in these verses, we should be very careful in dealing with the mind, which should not be indulged in any circumstance. Once we indulge the mind, it can create havoc in this life, even though we may be spiritually advanced. The mind is specifically agitated through the association of materialistic men and women. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his personal behavior, warns everyone to avoid meeting a materialistic person or woman. Right? So that's the point, is that materialistic element one has to be very, very careful about. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.